Well, that's a song service I believe we'll preach. So that's what we're going to do. Psalm 23, verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I want to talk to you this morning about how to smile at death, or how to be tickled to death to die. Death isn't ordinarily a popular subject to think about or to speak about. People do everything they can to avoid thinking about death. And the interesting thing is, man is the only creature on earth that knows he's going to die, and he's doing everything he can to forget about it. But death is not something that Christians ought to be afraid of. It's interesting that David wrote about the valley of the shadow of death here. Did you know that's a real place? Over in Palestine, between Jerusalem and Bethlehem, it starts up in the mountains about 2,700 feet above sea level, and there's a little trickle there. Most of the time it's a trickle, sometimes it flows a little harder, but it's a trickle that runs from 2,700 feet above sea level all the way down to 1,300 feet below sea level. It ends in the Dead Sea, which is the lowest point on earth. And over the years and the centuries, that trickle of water has cut a canyon in those Judean hills. You might call it a mini Grand Canyon. And it's narrow at the bottom, sometimes only about 12 feet wide at the bottom. And even at high noon, there are shadows all over that canyon because it's so deep and so narrow. Now, back in Bible times, that valley of the shadow of death was full of hyenas and leopards and bears and all other kinds of predatory animals and robbers. And there's caves in the side of those hills where the robbers would hide and the animals would stay. And it was a frightening place. But you know what? It was a useful place too. In the winter, when there wasn't much grass, the shepherds would take their sheep down to Jericho. And there would be lush grass there, even though it was winter time. But in the summer, whenever the grass and the flowers would begin to cover the Judean hills, the shepherd would lead his sheep through that canyon called the Valley of the Shadow of Death up to the top of the Judean hills, where he would find greener pastures for his flock. Now, David was a shepherd himself, and I'm sure he had this place in mind whenever he wrote the 23rd Psalm, and he doubtless must have led his own sheep through that canyon many times. And David is saying, you know what? The Lord is to me what I've been to my sheep. The Lord is my shepherd. And I will fear no evil. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. David learned to smile at death, and I want you to learn to do the same thing. I'm going to give you three principles that will help you do that. And the first thing I want you to learn is that death is a decided fact. It's a decided fact. And this decided fact is a stubborn fact. In Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, it says, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. And then you go over to Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. It tells you how all this got started in the first place, because it says, wherefore, as by one man, and the one man it's talking about there is Adam, through one man, Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men for all of sin. In other words, if Adam hadn't have done it, you or I would have. So you just can't pin it on Adam. Now, if Jesus doesn't come back and take you out in the rapture, you're going to die. The current statistic on death is 1 out of 1 people die. Now, not only is this a stubborn fact, it's an uncertain fact. You don't know when you're going to die. David said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley." I'm going to emphasize different words in this verse as we go along to give you some different points. He says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley." He walks through this valley, and he doesn't know from moment to moment what's going to happen next. David said in 1 Samuel chapter 20 and verse 3, "There is but a step between me and death." It's a stubborn fact. It's an uncertain fact. You don't know when you're going to die. You know, sometimes a little child will have to drop his toys and grapple with the iron grip of death. I've preached funerals of babies. Babies that I tried to resuscitate, but they were too far gone. I've preached funerals of senior citizens. I've preached funerals for every age in between that. And I've learned the truth of what James says in James 4:14. He says, "Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It's but a vapor that appears for a little while and then it vanishes away." You know, here's something you need to think about. God doesn't have to take your life. All he has to do is stop giving it. James 4:15 says, "For you ought to say, if the Lord will, we'll live and do this or that." Your life is like a breath on a frosty morning. It's there for a moment and then it's gone. Death is a stubborn fact. It's an uncertain fact. Tell you what else, it's a personal fact. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." When a preacher talks about death, I know what y'all are doing. You're thinking, "You tell them, preacher. You tell them." Hey, I may be talking to you. You say, "Now, preacher, no way. I'm healthy. You may not be as healthy as you think you are. And besides that, the last time I checked, cars run over healthy people too. Airplanes crash full of healthy people. Healthy people get murdered all the time." I don't think you should use that as an excuse. Death is a personal fact. Step number one in being able to smile at death is to look death straight in the face, bring it into focus, and say, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Now, I not only want you to accept death as a decided fact, I also want you to accept death as a defeated foe. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the..." What's the next word? "Shadow of death." First, there can be no valley without mountains, right? This is a valley psalm between two mountain psalms. See, Psalm 22 is a mountain psalm. It deals with Calvary. It's the crucifixion psalm. Psalm 24 is also a mountain psalm. It deals with the coronation of the Messiah on Mount Zion at the second coming. And so Psalm 23 is the valley psalm between those two mountain psalms. And we're living in that valley right now between the blood-drenched slopes of Calvary and the sunlit slopes of Mount Zion. There can be no valley without two mountains. In John chapter 10, Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd." And then he said, "The shepherd gives his life for the sheep." Now, the good shepherd dies for me. That's Psalm 22. That's Calvary. And then in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 4, He's called the chief shepherd. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fades not away. That's Psalm 24, another mountain psalm. So the good shepherd dies for me. The chief shepherd is coming for me. But then in Hebrews chapter 13, verses 20 and 21, Jesus is called the great shepherd. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of his everlasting covenant make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. He's the one who lives for me. He has conquered the valley of the shadow of death. So if you want to smile at death, remember, first of all, there can be no valley without mountains. Psalm 121, verse 1 says, I will lift up mine eyes to the hills from whence cometh my help. Secondly, there can be no shadow without light. Death is just a shadow if you know the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus has become the death of death. Jesus pulled the sting out of death. He pulled the gloom out of the grave. He pulled the dread out of dying. Jesus has given us a hope that's steadfast and sure. Now, a shadow may frighten you, but it can't hurt you. Have you ever been walking down the street when all of a sudden the shadow of one of these big airplanes goes right over the top of it, hits right over the top of you? Hurts, doesn't it? You say, no, it's just a shadow. Exactly. God made us to walk through shadows. There can't be a shadow without light. There was a pastor, young pastor, who lost his young wife to cancer, I think it was. They had a little girl. And after the funeral, the daddy and his little girl went to a department store, and as they were approaching the department, the sun was already setting down low. It was low in the west, and as they were walking to this department store, a truck went by, and the shadow of that truck loomed large on that building and went right by him. And the pastor saw that as a teaching moment. He said, honey, would you rather get hit by that shadow or the truck? She said, well, that's easy, Daddy. I'd rather get hit by the shadow. He said, that's right, honey. It was just the shadow that hit mommy because the truck hit Jesus over 2,000 years ago. I like that. I don't like that it hit Jesus, but I mean, it's a great illustration. There can't be a shadow without light. Listen to this. This is great. This goes so much with this song. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 2. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in that, listen to this, land of the shadow of death, isn't that what we're talking about? Upon them has a great light shined. Are you in the valley of the shadow of death right now? Look to the light, and the shadow will fall behind you. There's no valley without mountains. There's no shadow without light. Thirdly, there's no evil without a greater good. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Who is the thou mentioned here? Well, it's Jesus, who is our Jehovah. We talked about that a week or two ago. Let me give you a little illustration of that. When Moses could no longer lead his people in the wilderness. On their way to the promised land, he chose a right-hand man by the name of Joshua. Remember that? To take his place. Well, his name wasn't always Joshua. At first, his name was Hoshea. And Moses said, I'm going to give you a new name. And he combined Jehovah with Yoshea. Now, when you put Hosea, it means Jehovah saves. I told you earlier that the word Jehovah was the holiest name in the Old Testament for God. And then when you get to the New Testament, the name Jehovah is never mentioned again. Why? Because Jesus is our Jehovah. We have the name of Jesus instead, and you know what it means? Jehovah saves. That's what Jehoshea means. Jesus saves. David is saying, there may be evil, but Jehovah's with me. We can say, there may be evil, but Jesus is with me. God is greater than Satan, and life is greater than death. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. Death is not only a decided fact. It's not only a defeated foe, but this may surprise you. Death is also a delightful friend. You say, how can that be? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 22 and 23. The people in Corinth were arguing over who their favorite preacher was. And Paul, he comes along and he says, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life, what's the next two words? Or death, or things present, or things to come, all are yours. Meditate on that just a minute. In other words, death is listed there as one of your treasured possessions. Death is not an enemy. Death is a servant to help us. Psalm 116. And verse 15, it says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Precious is what? The death of God's saints. Paul said in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 21, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Physically, it's gain. My body's never going to be sick again. I'm going to be made like the Lord Jesus. Intellectually, it's gain. I'm going to be known as I am known. It's gain emotionally because I'll be able to praise the Lord with all of my heart and all my soul. Socially, it's gain. I'll be with all of the saints of all of the ages. Won't that be something? But more than that, you're going to be face to face with the Lord who made all that possible. And spiritually, it's gain because all temptation and sin is now going to be behind me. To die is gain. David says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. So first of all, there's the presence of the shepherd, because this whole time, David has been talking about the Lord is my shepherd. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. But now that he's in the valley, he's no longer talking about him. He's talking to him, and he changes it from he to thou. Thou art with me. There's nothing that'll bring you more face to face with God than the dark valleys of life. But when you get to those dark valleys, you're going to learn what the Lord meant in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5 when he said, I, your good shepherd, will never leave you nor forsake you. A shouting ground. When it comes time for us to die, the Lord is there. The shepherd is there. Not only is there the presence of the shepherd, there's also the power of the shepherd. He says, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. We talked a little bit about the rod and the staff last week. But, you know, his rod's going to be there to protect you against the powers of evil. Remember I told you how he made the staff and how it had spikes in it. And he could throw that and he could take out any enemy. His staff is there with that crook on it to draw you back in when you get too close to the edge. Make sure you don't wander off from the flock. But not only is there the presence of the shepherd, and not only is there the power of the shepherd, thirdly, there's the purpose of the shepherd, and the purpose is to get you through the valley. Jesus just flat kicked the end out of the grave. That's a valley, not a box canyon. He's bringing you through it. Now, you may be in some difficulty today, and I just want you to know that's just for a season. It's for a purpose. David knew that a shepherd would never lead his sheep through a place like the valley of the shadow of death unless they were going to a better place. Someone asked a guy one time, he says, what's your favorite verse? He said, that one that says it came to pass. I said, well, why is that your favorite verse? And he says, because it ain't coming to stay. It's coming to pass. Amen. We sing a song that says, all the way my Savior leads me. What have I to ask beside? Can I doubt his tender mercy who through life has been my guide? Heavenly peace, divinest comfort, here by faith in him to dwell. For I know whatever befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. For I know whatever befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. The purpose of the shepherd's to get you through. Hebrews chapter 2. Verses 14 and 15, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same. In other words, Jesus took on flesh too, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of the death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. That's you and me. Friend, you're not ready to live until you're no longer afraid to die. You say, but with my sin, I'm afraid to die. What should I do about my sin? Let me tell you what to do about your sin. You ready? This is important. Put your faith where God put your sin, on Jesus Christ. Put your faith where God put your sin. Isaiah 53 verse 6 says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him, that is Jesus, the sin, the iniquity of us all. He bore the weight and the penalty of our sin. So if you'll just put your faith where God put your sin, you can smile at death. You can be tickled to death to die. Because that's going to bring you right into the presence of the one who died for you. Amen? Our musicians are going to come. We're going to have a moment of invitation. And if you've never put your faith where God put your sin, you need to do that, and you need to do it now. Because the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Today, hear his voice and harden not your heart. Every time you say no, or every time you say I'm going to wait, you just put another layer of callous on that heart. And it's going to get harder and harder and harder for the Holy Spirit to get through. Don't wait. What are we going to sing, Gary?
178.
178. Let's stand. You come as we sing.
That you've done for us. We thank you for the blessing of the sermon. Thank you, Lord, that you walk with us in the shadow of death, in the valley of the shadow of death. And we thank you, Lord, that you're there. Help us to trust you. Help us to know you're there. Sometimes it's hard to know and to trust in the darkness. A sermon was preached one time, and it said that God enjoys us most when we sing in the nighttime. Help us to do that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's join our hands as we dismiss.
Joy, thy spirit.